Chapter 1. I hadn't even unlocked the front door, and already I could hear them screeching. Would these two ever learn to get along?
"Get off the couch!"
Winifred cried, her high-pitched voice carrying through the plate-glass windows.
"Bird brain!"
Hubert screeched back. "Quit your squawking," I called on my way to the aviary where the bird cages are. "Breakfast is on."
"Bird brain!"
Hubert screeched again. This time I laughed. I love Saturday mornings. Most 15-year-olds would probably rather be sleeping in, but not me. On Saturday mornings, at least till Dad showed up, I run 4 feet in feathers. Now that we've moved to our new location in LaSalle, it's Montreal's biggest pet center. If I sound proud, that's because I am. Dad basically started 4 feet in feathers from nothing. As I pressed my palm on the aviary door, I inhaled the store's familiar scent. Hay, birdseed, and ammonia, with a little fresh paint on the side. Winifred crossed back and forth on her wooden perch, keeping a close eye on my fingers as I unlatched her cage door and reached for her food dish.
"Get off the couch!" she shrieked.
"Winifred," I said, shaking my head and trying not to laugh. Winifred gets insulted if you laugh at her. "We don't even have a couch in here." Her black eyes shone. You could tell she didn't believe me. We'd inherited Winifred. That happens in the pet business, since big birds like parrots, cockatoos, and macaws, Winifred is a macaw, often outlive their owners. Winifred's last owner was an old lady with many pets, including a dog that shed a lot, which explains how Winifred picked up the expression,
"Get off the couch!"
Hubert, a gray parrot, was climbing the bars of his cage, watching as I filled Winifred's food dish. He knew his turn was next, and he wanted to make sure he was getting exactly what I'd given Winifred. "Saturday morning special," I told him as I opened the fridge and took out a plastic tub of pineapple chunks. I added one to his food dish and another to Winifred's. Hubert stretched out his gray wings, and for a second it looked like he was wearing a gray cape. "Good morning," I whispered as I removed the old sheet draped over the next cage. Elmo liked sleeping in the dark. He picked up the habit when he was living with his old owner, a sailor who'd brought Elmo home from one of his trips around the world. We'd inherited Elmo, too. As I stashed the sheet under the counter, Elmo stepped closer to the bars at the front of his cage. Then he lowered the top of his head so I could pet the soft tuft of black feathers there. Elmo is brownish-black, except for a panel of bright red feathers on his tail. From the front, he looks kind of plain. But when Elmo spreads his tail feathers, there's no question about it. He's awesome. Though I had tons to do, the store opened in less than an hour, I gave Elmo a good scratch, reaching right for where his feathers met the skin. Elmo's not a talker. Most cockatoos aren't, though when Elmo's excited, he squawks so much you'd think he was trying to make sentences. I knew he was enjoying the scratch because when I took my finger away, he followed my hand, pressing his forehead against the bars.
Never forget the first rule of owning a pet store.
Dad was at home, probably helping Mom deal with the latest disaster. Yesterday the twins had caught pink eye, but I could hear Dad's voice as clearly as if he was standing behind me.
Don't get too attached to any of the animals, Tim. Remember, they're all for sale. Each and every one of them. As long as they wind up in good homes, we're doing our job.
The thing was, I was already too attached to Elmo. We'd had him since I was 5. And though it might sound weird, especially if you've never gotten to know a bird, I was as close to Elmo as I was to Philippe, who'd been my friend since preschool. I'd hardly seen Philippe since we'd moved to LaSalle. During the week, he worked at a day camp near our old house. On weekends, I was busy at the store, and so far, I hadn't made any new friends in LaSalle.